We are moving on in Paul's third missionary journey, and we find him arriving in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, and there are a few, just a few significant events that occur in this particular chapter that I want to spend a little bit of time on before we go on to chapter 20. If you look on your study guide, what we're focusing on here is Paul and missions and the whole concept and idea of him being a servant of God and what that really means to be a servant of God, what the effect of that is when someone is willing to be a servant, as Paul did. We'll talk about what that word really means in terms of how it is used in the text that we're looking at. If you look down there at the statement, the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. And that gospel saved men and women in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and Antioch and Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The power of the gospel was manifested in those cities. Among those peoples, not just in its representation, in its presentation, but in its representation. Its power was revealed not just in the words spoken, but in the lives lived. The gospel, its presentation, and its power was entrusted to men. Those men went, well pleased to impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. As a quote from 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. And so the encouragement for us in this is, as it says there at the last part of that paragraph, if we would save our neighbors, change our world, we too must go, willing to share not only our Savior, but ourselves. And that's really the theme and what we're looking at in this particular lesson. And a part of that sharing of ourselves is really all about being a true servant of God. So in Acts chapter 19, Paul, we see going down to Ephesus, and the event that the first thing that he records for us here that occurs is that there are some disciples that he finds. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they responded, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. So let's talk about this particular event here so we make sure that we understand a couple of important things that are going on, because people get a little bit confused and kind of, you know, get things twisted around here. So Paul finds these men who are disciples, okay, that meaning what? Do what? Yeah, they're followers of Christ, okay? And so there's, for some reason, there must have been something in Paul's conversation with them that caused him to ask the question about the Holy Spirit. Because we know that, you know, the promise that we all receive when we're baptized is we all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Well, when Paul met these men, there must have been something as he's talking with them and so forth that led him to the point, to the conclusion that, wait a minute, did you guys receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? You know, tell me about that. And I don't know what it was. It's just pure speculation, but something apparently stood out to Paul that he asked that question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? Okay, which again goes back to that promise in Acts chapter 2 that we all receive the gift of the Holy Spirit But again, there's probably something missing there that Paul is noticing. So their response is, what? We didn't even know there was a such thing as the Holy Spirit. So they hadn't heard of that yet. Okay? So that immediately indicates to Paul that something has been missing in their teaching. Okay? Because they had been taught about Jesus, they had been baptized, but they hadn't been taught anything about the Holy Spirit. So upon expressing that they hadn't heard that there was a Holy Spirit, then the next question is, well then, what baptism did you receive? Okay? And their response is, John's baptism. So how does all of that fit in here? Well, the idea, what is, when he talks about John's baptism, and he says John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, what is that part all about? Yes, but more than that, primarily John's baptism was a baptism of preparation for Christ, okay? In fact, everything that John did, his preaching and everything, was all to make way for the Lord, right? To prepare the way for the Lord. And so he was, everything he was doing and teaching was focused on preparing people to receive Jesus, okay? So his baptism was one that referred people to the idea of repent of your sins and prepare for the Lord. Okay? But John's baptism could not accomplish the most significant thing that needed to be accomplished, which was what? It could not take away sins. It could get people to repent of sin, okay, which is what? No, it's more than that. Okay, repentance literally means to turn from one thing to another. Okay, it's more than just saying I'm sorry or feeling sorry. It's actually turning from one thing to another. Turning, in this case, from the old life of sin to Christ. Okay? And so John, what his baptism was all about was getting people prepared for Christ by saying, yes, I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to turn from the way that I've been living and turn to Jesus and be a follower of his. But it in no way, shape, or form was designed or intended to take away sins. And why is that? Only Christ can do that. And do what? Yeah, Christ hadn't died yet, right? So therefore, John's baptism could not take away sins. Okay? And it was not the baptism like what was told about and taught in Acts chapter 2, repentance and giving yourself to Christ and allowing Christ to wash away sins in baptism and then receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's this difference in these two baptisms that were going on. Now, were they contradictory to one another? No, not at all. John's baptism was designed and intended, as we said a moment ago, to prepare the way for Christ. It came before Christ and his baptism, but it was getting people ready for Christ. But these men, apparently, whenever they were baptized, they were not baptized into Christ, okay, and did not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so they had not been saved from their sins. Okay? They had only repented. All right? Or said, I'm going to change my life and turn it around. So therefore, Paul says, they need to get baptized again. All right? So he has them baptized into Christ. All right? And then it says, verse 5, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, okay, when they heard what they needed to do, they immediately did that. Okay? Which is a sign of their true desire to follow Jesus. Okay? Now, what does that, this particular lesson here, part of it, tell us about baptism today? In terms of folks that we may encounter that maybe have been baptized, but not baptized according to the Scriptures.
It's essential for salvation.
Okay? That, yeah, first of all, baptism is essential, okay, to someone's salvation. But what do we do with somebody who, you know, got baptized, you know, one way or another here, but it's not the way that the Scriptures teach that they teach according to baptism? Judy? Okay. Okay.
And a lot of people believe that.
Okay.
And if we baptize for any other reason than into the Lord Jesus Christ, that should not be valid either.
Okay. All right. We have a lot of people that have been sprinkled, and even like infant baptism, they got baptized when they were a baby, and at least that's what they were told. That's what happened to me. So we have a lot of folks that under different circumstances have been baptized in different ways, but not baptized the way that the Scriptures teach. Okay, whether it's the way, the method of baptism, which is immersion. That's what the word baptism means. The Greek word means to dip, plunge, or immerge someone. So it is an immersion, a burial, Paul says in Romans chapter 6. When somebody dies, and that's really what the whole aspect of it is a death, a burial, and a resurrection, right? That Paul talks about in Romans 6. So when somebody dies, what do we do with their body? We bury it, right? You know, the old 6 feet under, right? We don't take that person, lay them on the ground, and sprinkle a little bit of dirt on them and say they've been buried, right? Because that's not a burial. We bury them, meaning we put them in the ground, all right, and cover them up. And that's what baptism is. It is a burial. So the method of baptism is important. Okay, obviously, Paul here, in terms of, you know, what was done, but also the reason that someone is baptized. These men were baptized by John's baptism. That was not adequate for salvation. All right, we got people that are baptized just simply as an act of obedience after they were saved. Is what a lot of churches teach. Well, that's not adequate. Okay? Because you weren't baptized to wash your sins away. You were baptized as an act of obedience because that's what the Bible tells you to do. Well, I'm glad you're wanting to obey the Bible, but let's obey the whole thing. You see? Right. Let's not just pick and choose the parts we want to obey. Again, not just the method, but the reason or the purpose for the baptism is very significant because it goes back to the whole issue of what is accomplished in that baptism. Okay? And what is accomplished in a scriptural baptism? What is accomplished there?
Okay? One of the things I found, I did in 1959, I was baptized and I was 9 years old.
Okay.
I was not baptized for the remission of sins because
okay.
I was not even asked that question.
All right.
In 1976, I was baptized for the remission of sins.
Okay. All right.
That's why I had to go down in the water.
All right.
To be baptized for the remission of sins and raised up as a new creature in Christ.
Right.
But I understood that.
Okay.
But it has to be taught.
Right.
That means you just can't just do something just to do it.
Right.
It needs to be for the right reason.
Exactly. Exactly. Why are you doing this, and what are you doing, and why are you doing it?
Yeah.
You see? Because we need to understand what is baptism intended to accomplish. Well, it is intended to wash our sins away.
Right.
Okay? And so for those who would say, well, yeah, I got baptized as an act of obedience after I became a Christian, well, but what you're doing is nullifying the value of baptism in washing your sins away, because you're saying your sins were already taken away because you believed, and the Bible doesn't teach that. You see, and so again, it's important and it's significant to know, why am I being baptized? What, not just what, but why and how is this being accomplished? Okay, all of those things are important factors in this. And so we have someone who they say, well, yeah, I got baptized, you know, as a child, and like in my case, I was baptized as an infant, you know, in the Catholic Church. You know, I didn't have any say in that. You know, there wasn't any repentance on my part. Somebody was standing in for me and spoke on my behalf, you know, my quote-unquote godparents. But there's nothing in the Bible that teaches that, you see. And so, yeah, when I heard the truth, just like you, Ray, I need to be baptized into Christ,
right.
You see. And so that's what we've got to encourage people to do. Now, another side of that is that we have to be careful, though, and is that what the Bible teaches, if a person has done that, and this is something that we've, you know, done here and focused on this, we get people that have come from somewhere else, a denominational church, but in discussing with them and talking with them, that they know what their church teaches, but they did not do it for that reason. They were baptized for the remission of their sins, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. They've done what the Bible tells them to do. Okay? Then I can't require them to do anything more than that. Okay? So they have been baptized according to the Scriptures. But those who have not, we need to encourage them to obey what the gospel teaches, just like Paul here did, and say, hey, you know, that baptism may have accomplished this. It may have made you feel good for a while or what have you, but you need to understand what baptism really is all about and try to teach them that truth so that they can follow and obey what the gospel teaches them in that. Now, there's another aspect of this that a lot of people bring up and talk about sometimes, and that is the issue of somebody who was baptized as maybe a young child, and we have a lot of times where we get teenagers that go to camp over the summertime, and one kid gets baptized, and then the next thing you know, you got several others that are following because of all the stuff that's going on with it. So we get a lot of kids that get baptized, but then down the road in their life later on, they come to a point where they think, you know, I'm not sure when I got baptized at camp when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, that I really did it for the right reason, is how I've had several people express to me. You know, I, the more I think about it, the more I realize that I did it because that's what other kids were doing, and I wanted to, you know, feel good about all that and blah, blah, blah. And so I really feel like I need to be rebaptized. Okay? Well, what do we do with those kinds of situations? We rebaptize them, okay?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, I got a couple of different things here. What?
Well, they weren't really baptized the first time. So.
Okay.
As they, because they really had to be baptized. So.
Okay, all right.
Well, they were just dumped, basically, in the water. And,
okay.
They weren't sure why.
Okay. So, you know, we look at those kind of situations and say, well, you know, they really didn't get baptized for the right reason. It might have been the right way and everything, but did they really understand what they were doing and so forth? Kind of like these fellas here, you know. We got baptized by John's baptism. Well, I got baptized because everybody else was getting baptized. There's not a death, a burial, and a resurrection that is really taking place there. Okay, Charlotte? Well, I think that depends on the child, okay? And I think it requires us to do some questioning to make sure, does this person understand what they're doing, okay, in that? You know, there are some children at 9 or 10 years old who really are not ready. They heard this, they heard that, whatever. But then there are others who are. My son Kyle was baptized. He was 9 years old when he was baptized. And, you know, it stuck, okay? He's very faithful. He's never questioned his baptism, never, you know, any of that. But then, I don't know if I've told you all about this little girl. One time I was doing a youth rally out in Southwest Virginia, and we had this girl came up and responded to the invitation, and she said she wanted to be baptized. And I think she was about 10 years old. She said she wanted to be baptized. And so, okay, great, you know, I'm sitting there talking to her while, the song is going on and so forth, and come to find out she'd already been baptized twice. You know, 10 years old, she's already been baptized twice, and so right away something, you know, flags went up, and I'm going, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you get baptized today and you sin again, are you going to have to get baptized again? She said, oh, yes. You see, her understanding was not complete. She did not understand. Her understanding was the reason that you get baptized is to wash away your sins. So every time you sin, you have to get rebaptized. That's what she believed. And I thought, well, you know, at 10 years old, she's at a point where she recognizes sin, but she's only done it 3 times. You know, so that's pretty good, right? But so we didn't baptize her at that point. You know, I explained to her, I said, well, I think that what we need to do is we got to spend some more time teaching so that you make sure you really understand what you're doing and why, you see? And so we got the folks from the church there to spend some time, you know, teaching her and going over that with her to make sure that what she did and when she did it, that she knew and understood it, you see? Let me get Judy back there first and then Charlotte here. Right.
The baptism. You go over in Germany, she got baptized, and something kind of struck me in a funny way. I don't know what it was, but after the baptism, I asked her, I said, do you really understand what this all was about? And she said, not really.
Okay.
So I had to really set her down and teach her what the baptism was all about. So now my question is, should she have been rebaptized?
Well, you know, again, here's my take on those kind of situations. We don't always know, okay? So what I have always done in those situations is that I encourage people to say, if you have any doubt in your mind, then to me the best thing to do is let's remove the doubt, okay? Let's just remove the doubt. Get baptized, get rebaptized. Now you know what it's about. You know why you're doing it. You're doing it for the right reason. You understand that. Get rebaptized, and then there's no question about it. Okay? It's not going to hurt anything to do that. All right? But if you don't, then, you know, maybe that person isn't saved. You see? So, you know, just remove the doubt. Okay? Charlotte, I'm sorry. Well, I think it's vitally important. I think that's what Paul is demonstrating to us here, that we don't just assume, somebody says, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, we don't just assume that they've done what they need to do. Have you really obeyed the gospel? You know, we need to ask a little bit. And sometimes, you know, immediately, you know, some flags and whistles are going off. That should cause us to to maybe inquire a little bit more and then try to teach more. Now, if that person says, I'm good with it, you know, don't need any more, then, okay, I'm not going to force you. I just want you to know what the Bible teaches here, okay? You know, when my daughter-in-law, Maddie, and I tell you, I don't know a Christian woman who is more sincere in the faith than Maddie is. She is a lover of the Lord tremendously. But my son, Kyle, when they were dating in high school, they would get together and study the Bible together during their lunch break. And she came to the point that she wanted to be baptized. Now, she was raised, her mother was, I think still is, a minister in the Methodist Church. And, you know, Maddie said, you know, hey, I want to be baptized. And her mom said, no, you were baptized when you were a baby, and that's good enough. You know, and so here's a dilemma. What do we do? Here is a, you know, 16-year-old girl who wants to be baptized into Christ. Her mom's saying, nope, you can't do it. Maddie said, well, and her mom also told her, said, once you're 18, you can do whatever you want to, but as long as you're under my house, no. And so Maddie waited. And the weekend that she turned 18, her first year in college, Kyle came home, she came home from college, they met there, and we went over to the church building, and Kyle baptized her. Her mom came with us, you know, and witnessed the whole thing. And so, you know, it's not always easy. It's not always a cut and dry, you know, this and that and so forth. But I do think we have a responsibility to inquire and to ask and to make sure that people really understand what they're doing and are they really truly saved, okay? Charlotte, you had your hand up a moment ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, the reason why I asked that question, young
right.
Children, because I remember when Sky and
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did not call her coming in any way.
Yeah.
I remember Sky sitting beside me that Sunday and the invitation came, because I'm looking at her like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Know the Lord enough to say, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, we never call her, you know, her. The altar still is not dead yet.
Yeah. And you have to allow them to get to that point, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. Wesley, you had your hand up a moment ago, yeah. And then Ray over here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got dunked, but you didn't really get baptized. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, another part of that, too, is the idea, and I've talked about this before, and as I mentioned earlier, it's a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And we need to help people to understand that death part. And what's happening with too many people today is that they are being taught that all they have to do is believe and they'll be saved, and baptism is something you do later on. Well, the problem there is that there's no death. And if there's no death, then there's no repentance, really. And what people are getting the impression is that all they have to do is believe in God or believe in Jesus, and they're saved, and they don't have to change their life at all. See? And thus, you know, you've heard me talk about many times before, you know, survey after survey after survey, you know, keep talking about the fact that there are, you know, 80 to 85% of the people in America believe in God. Okay? But they're not true believers and not true Christians, because if they were, we wouldn't be having all these problems going on in this country the way we do. You know, they're not living their life for Christ. You say, I got a fellow that I play golf with, you know, that is a deacon in his church. And I won't say what church it is, but he's a deacon in his church. And he's asked me not to pair him with certain people that go to his church because while he's out there playing golf, he likes to drink. You know, and so he doesn't want them to know that he's drinking. And I haven't ever said this to him. I thought, everybody knows that, okay? It's not a secret to anybody here. But that's his thinking. That's his frame of mind here. So, you know, you think, okay, I'm a Christian. He would say, yes, I'm a Christian. He's a deacon in his church. And yet, where's the changing of his life? Now, please don't anybody misunderstand. I'm not saying having a drink is wrong. It's not sinful. But just the whole idea of I'm trying to hide it from certain people because I don't want them to, you know, and so forth. To me, that's just as bad, okay? Because you're not really being true to yourself. If there's nothing wrong with it, which, you know, have a drink, there's nothing wrong with that, then don't try to hide it, you see? But my point is that we've got a lot of people who haven't really died to themselves. They haven't really, you know, changed anything. They don't see the need to change anything because they haven't been told they need to change anything. All they've been told is they just need to believe in Jesus. And so those in that group of people who even have been baptized, I suggest that what's happened to them is they've been buried alive. You see? Because they didn't die to themselves and to sin. They got buried still alive, right? Well, you know, that is a danger that you end up discouraging a child.
You know, I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, we had a young man in the congregation in North Augusta when I was there, and what I understood is that when he was a young child, he wanted to be baptized, and his parents told him no, he was too young. And so he just kind of, fine. And, you know, now he's, you know, he was in his late teens. And his parents were now concerned, you know, he's not a Christian yet, he hadn't, you know, and so forth. And so I got with him and did some talking with him. We spent some time together, and he told me, he said, well, when I was a kid, I wanted to, but my mom and dad said I couldn't. And so I just kind of, fine, I didn't do anything with it, just didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. And I said, well, you know, now you're at an age where you know better. He said, yeah. And so, you know, we talked and we studied some things. And actually, we were out fishing one day. I took him out in a boat and we were out in the middle of a pond. And told him I wasn't going to take him back until he decided he was going to get baptized. No, actually, he had wanted to be, he came to the point where he wanted to be baptized and everything. And we did that. But it's just, again, sometimes that can be a discouraging factor, you know, with children. And so you kind of have to weigh that out. You know, again, keep in mind, if they're too young, and you know, but they're insisting, it's not going to hurt if later on down the road they decide, hey, maybe I didn't do it, I didn't understand, what have you. Then they get rebaptized. It's not hurting anything. But I think that's a lot better to do that than to discourage them. And then they say, well, fine, it's not that important then. You know, because kids grow up in church, at least here, you know, they grow up hearing you need to be baptized and so forth. And then they come to a point, 9, 10, 11 years old, they want to be baptized. And we say, no, you don't need to get baptized right now. That's confusing to a child. Is it important or is it not important? It must not be very important if I want to do it and you don't want me to do it. And that's the message that they hear. We don't intend them to hear that message, but that's what they hear. And so it's like, fine, I won't do it then. And so we got to kind of be careful about that aspect of it. Jude, did you have your hand up a second ago?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Connor at a young age expressed that he wanted to be baptized, and his mother was adamant about it, that he wasn't going to do it. Now, I get all kinds of excuses when I try to approach him.
Yeah. Yeah, would it be different right now? Yeah. So, Chuck?
Well, there will always be challenges with young people coming. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
A lot of the circumstances, background, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think there's any of us in here who would marry off our 10-year-old daughter.
Would do what now?
Marry off our 10-year-old.
Oh, okay. No.
Well, because, again, that's a very serious thing to contemplate.
Right.
In that regard. So something more serious than marriage is the internal well-being of your soul, right, where you intend to put your life. So that's something how I would handle it. You just don't marry off a young child.
Okay, yeah. So you're saying that you wouldn't recommend that a child be baptized?
Again, depending on the circumstances, but we definitely wouldn't marry off a young child. So, you know, yeah, without teaching.
Right.
To understand that, yes, there is a grave responsibility once you commit that.
Right.
And so I think, again, a lot of us, even adults, don't understand that. When Christ says, carry your cross, what does that mean? What is he asking you to do once you do commit to that baptism? That it is a lifelong changing event.
Right.
And so, again.
Yeah, the thing is that I would say, and I understand what you're saying about a child, you know, not marrying, but I would say those are different things in that, you know, once you marry, that's the situation where, according to what the Bible teaches, okay, that's for life, and you can't undo that. And it's, you know, you can't go back and say, well, I didn't understand what I was doing when I was 10 years old, even though as a 10-year-old child, we'd go, no, she didn't, you know. But when you're talking about baptism, this is something that, again, I don't see that 10-year-old child going, yeah, I think I want to get married, but I know I don't understand everything there is to understand about it, but I'd like to go ahead and do it anyway. And we would go, okay. With baptism, this is a matter of a person's salvation, and I don't want to risk, as I said earlier, this person coming going, yeah, I want to do this. And then discouraging them because we say, no, you can't. You know, that child wanting to get married at 10 years old, they can still get married later on, and they probably will. You know, marriage is not something they're going to go, oh, well, if I can't do it when I'm 10, I'm not going to get married the rest of my life. It's kind of a different scenario, I think. You know, again, they can always come back later on, and if they didn't understand it, they can be rebaptized, what have you. Which is different from the marriage situation. You can't go back and get remarried, you know, unmarried or what have you. There's another thought that I had while I was saying that, and it keeps jumping in and out of my brain here right now. It'll come back after we finish class this morning. But Dale.
Talk to them a little bit.
Right.
About to do. So, you know, it brings up the question, okay, do we baptize them anyway or not?
Not me.
And so I think that's kind of what Chuck was saying. It was, you know, if they're clear, you know, if somebody's four and they want to be baptized, we're probably not going to baptize
right.
them because at that age they clearly don't. But there's a, once you get into the adolescent years and in there, there's a really big difference from
yeah.
the child to the next as far as what they understand and what they don't.
Right.
I was baptized at 8 years old, and my parents did exactly what you said. They said, if you think later maybe you didn't understand what you were doing, you may want to consider being baptized. But they let me at 8. But I understood what I was doing, at least, you know, to the best of my recollection.
Right.
I did know what I was. I had been going to church all my life,
yeah.
so I had heard the plan of salvation, and I understood it.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of difference.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, there are some people that we don't feel like are candidates
yeah.
for baptism.
Yeah, and I think we have to be careful. The thing that I was thinking about, it just jumped back in my head, is that, you know, we have to also be careful about that, you know, what does a person have to know? How much do they have to know before they can get baptized? And this is a situation where they don't have to know everything there is to know about the Bible in order for them to get baptized. What they need to know, go back to Acts chapter 2 and see what did those 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost know when they got baptized into Christ? Well, they knew they were sinners, right? Okay, they knew they were guilty of crucifying the Messiah, and they repented of that. Okay, and they wanted to be saved. So, you know, I submit that, you know, does a person have to understand all of the aspects
no.
of following Christ and everything that really means
no.
before they get baptized? I don't think they do. That's what the growing process of being a Christian is all about. But we do need to make sure, though, and that's that. And all of this basically comes down to our responsibility in trying to teach people. That's what this is really all about, that we get somebody, whether we're talking about a child or an adult, and do we take the time and the effort to try to make sure what do they understand and what things do I need to try to clear up for them, you see, before we do this, like the little girl who wanted to get baptized again, you know, because she sinned again. You know, we need to clarify those kinds of things. And then there will be some folks in that category that go, I don't think that they're really ready because they're not really understanding even some basic things here. Then all we need to do is suggest some more teaching, okay, and kind of try to follow up with that more teaching and so forth. Rather than just going, okay, they want to get baptized, you know, it's another number on the rolls. We got, you know, X number of baptisms this year. So, no, we can't do that because we're not helping people in their salvation. Beverly and then Kathy over here. Kathy?
I'm just going to say, you know, for those that we're trying to teach and they're not quite getting it all, but they want to be baptized, you know, when you're up there, Russ, you're only asking a few things.
Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
So,
is it your desire to have your sins washed away in baptism? Yeah. I mean, that's all I want to know right now. And then we can teach from there. We need to teach from there.
Right.
You see, which another problem that we oftentimes have is that we kind of look at baptism as the final step. As long as we get them in the water, we get them baptized, then okay, now they're Christian. We move on to the next person or whatever. And we seem sometimes to forget that this is a baby in Christ, and we need to be teaching them and helping them to grow and so forth, you see. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, because we're not following up. Yeah.
But that's how you lose.
Right.
Because they are not being taught.
Yeah, we've got to teach them. We take that basic understanding that they have and a desire to be saved, and then we take it from there and we help them to grow in their knowledge and understanding of Christ. One other thing, we're past time here. One other thing I want to say here real quickly is in this last part here, verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. This is, and if you go over to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, we find here this example and this idea of imparting miracles by the laying on of the apostles' hands. This is different than the gift of the Holy Spirit that is received even today when a person is baptized. That gift of the Holy Spirit is not a miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit where people are able to speak in tongues or do other miracles or what have you. That comes, and this is an example of it, where what the New Testament teaches is that gift was given to people by the laying on of the apostles' hands. So we need to make sure that we understand the difference between those. And we can, if we need to, if anybody has any questions about that, we can pick up here next week and talk about that some more. But unfortunately, we are out of time. All right, thank you all very much.